Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, we have before us this morning a very familiar text, the baptism of our Lord as recorded in the Gospel of St. Matthew. Now on the surface, this text speaks of two great doctrines of the Christian Church, that of baptism and the Holy Trinity. For here you have a very clear revelation of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And here too you have this Holy Trinity intimately joined to holy baptism. But the object of our looking at this very familiar text here this morning is not to once again rehearse or define these well-known teachings. Rather, let us be lifted up and encouraged as we see here in this text three God-given reasons for us to be confident of our salvation. Now notice, first of all, if you will, that Jesus presents himself here for baptism as your Savior to fulfill all righteousness for you. Now we know from the witness of the Holy Scriptures that Jesus is the sinless Son of God. And so I think the question quite normally is raised, why would Jesus of all people need to be baptized? Baptism is for sinners, is it not? Baptism is what we need to wash away all our sins. But Jesus was conceived without sin. He lived a sinless life. He's the Holy Son of God. Indeed, that's exactly what John the Baptist saw. It's what he saw and what caused him to react with a certain amount of shock as he sees Jesus coming to him and requesting of him to be baptized. What's going on here? John knows that he's the sinner. John knows that he's the one who needs to be baptized to be cleansed by Jesus. Well, certainly with his baptism by John, our Lord Jesus is putting his stamp of approval on the Baptist ministry. Oh, it's not that John's ministry needed some kind of a PR blitz at this point, that he needed to kind of bolster up some sagging statistics or something. No. In fact, it was John who would eventually say, he must increase and I must decrease. But you see, for Jesus to endorse the ministry of John the Baptist and all that that ministry meant and what it pointed to was for Jesus to really affirm his own messiahship. Notice that Jesus does not correct John when John essentially says, look, Lord, I need to be baptized by you. He doesn't correct him at all. In effect, he is saying, yes, I'm the Messiah. And yes, I know, John, that it appears to be a little bit unusual. In fact, it might appear to be a bit of a mystery as to why I would be baptized. But allow it for now. You see, John's mission had been fully realized. Indeed, his ministry and his baptism were declared to be valid, and they had served the purpose, the God-given purpose, of preparing the way for the Savior and literally announcing his arrival. But I think even more importantly than all that, with his baptism, Jesus identifies himself with baptism and with all those who need it so badly. Remember, he's the one identified by John when John says, behold, the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world. Yes, here is the sin bearer. Here is the scapegoat, the one who would answer for all of our sin. And here in his own words, he fulfills all righteousness. Note this well. The sin bearer takes our load of guilt, all of our sin, and he buries it, he drowns it in the waters of baptism. And of course, this he did for all those who share in the human nature. My dear friends, here is objective justification in the flesh. Do you see why this can give you all the more confidence in your your own salvation? Jesus here as your Savior fulfills all righteousness for you also in his baptism. Now, who among us could actually then consider baptism to be a trifling thing, to be a mere symbol or a mere initiation rite, when we see our Lord Jesus himself connecting all righteousness to it? And what could be meant by that other than the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation? Yes, here at the baptism of our Lord, we see a gift that gives confidence. And I think it should further inspire confidence in us that here at his baptism at the Jordan, we see the Holy Spirit anointing our Lord for his saving work. Now, as you well know, this is something that was spoken long beforehand in the Holy Scriptures. It was promised. The psalmist speaks of it. Isaiah the prophet speaks of it. And here we have its fulfillment. Here at his baptism, the Holy Spirit actually manifests himself in a very visible, very physical way. And lo and behold, it is one and the same Spirit who works that miracle of new birth, the miracle of faith in each and every one of us in our own baptism. Now, why should that instill confidence in us? Well, here we see a very beautifully engineered continuity that runs all the way from what God promised as a certainty in the Old Testament, right on through the fulfilling of all righteousness in Jesus' baptism, to everything that we receive in our own baptism. Yes, my dear friends, there is true confidence here to know that baptism is God's work and only God's work, to know that here it is the Spirit's action, and that we ourselves are, by God's grace, the recipients of the Spirit's gift package. But that's not all. For here at Jesus' baptism, in the baptism of our Lord, God the Father acknowledges Jesus to be his beloved Son, and he pronounces his blessing on Jesus' saving mission. And you know, when you and I hear those words, "This is my beloved Son," we really ought to take notice. In fact, we really ought to take those words in a very personal way. Oh, it's true that God the Father here is claiming Jesus to be his own, yes. But what we ought not miss is that in our own baptism, then, he claims us to be his own as well. For what does the scripture say? Anyone who has been baptized into Christ has put on Christ. And in our own baptism, then, we can actually hear God the Father say, "This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved daughter." And may none of you ever forget the words that follow, "In whom I am well pleased." Yes, of course, God the Father was pleased with his Son and his Son's work. But you know, the really startling thing, the thing that almost catches us unexpectedly, the thing that is almost shocking here, is that because of our own baptism, we too are now acceptable to Almighty God. We too have found favor in his sight. But only because we have put on the acceptable one, the one who is pleasing. So yes, my dear friends, this all gives us very good reason to be confident of our salvation. When we hear those words in our text, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," we know that those were the very words that were spoken at our baptism. Indeed, they are the words that are spoken of us by God's grace on a daily basis. So on the basis of this text, you can actually say with me, "Here is my Jesus, here is my scapegoat, my Savior." And because the Father is pleased with his Son, he's pleased with me. How much more confident could you be of your salvation? In the name of him who fulfilled all righteousness for you, also in his baptism. Amen. May that peace of God that surpasses all of our human comprehension keep your hearts and your minds in union with Christ Jesus. Amen.